Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Well, good morning, everybody. Before I begin, I just want to let you know, this week being the Valentine's week and all, that Michaela and John, they're still singles and available. If any one of you know of anybody, please come see me, all right? Hey, like John said, we are in the last week of our series that we're calling The Comparison Trap. If you're new to church this morning, if you missed any of the first two messages, you can go to our YouTube channel, The Rocks Perth, and you can find our messages there. Last week, Sid preached such a powerful sermon. After church, Jaden, my son, came to me and asked me, "Can you top that, Dad?" And I said, "Jaden, the series is called The Comparison Trap." Okay. So, you know, well, in this series, we've been talking about this bad habit that we all have. I thought it was just me, but apparently all of us have this bad habit of comparing ourselves with other people. And the bottom line throughout this whole series is this simple statement, very simple statement, that there is no win in comparison. There is no win in comparison. It's a losing game every single time. Every time I look at your house where you live, I look at what you drive. Every single time I look at your family where your children go to school, I'm opening myself to the possibility of ruining my life because I'm entering this game where I cannot win. There's just no win in comparison. It's a losing game every single time. And the reason why it is a losing game every time is because there's always somebody with a better than us. Is that right? There's always someone who is smarter, someone who is prettier, richer, cooler, skinnier, and funnier, and so on. Even if you are on the other side of this argument, maybe you have all of this you will eventually have one that you do not want. You're going to get older. And then soon, you're going to be oldest, and you can't keep up with all of this. That's why there's no win in comparison. When you compare yourself with people who have more than you, you feel superior. When you compare yourself with people who have more than you, you feel miserable. You feel intimidated. You feel like you're inadequate. So let me tell you, it is a chasing after the wind. There's no finish line. There's no aha moment. There's no peace. There is just no win in comparison. So where we landed in the first week is this. We landed with a very, very important question. And I want to ask this question again to you. And let me tell you, this is such an important question. It is a question for everybody. If you're not a church person, if you're not a Christian, maybe you come from a different religion, it doesn't matter because this question is applicable to everybody. You need to ask yourself this question. You need to wrestle with this question. And the question is this: who am I going to look to as a point of reference to know that I am okay? Because behind every comparison, we all want to know that we're okay. Every man here, we want to know that we have what it takes. We want to know that we're okay. Every wife, every girl here, they wanted to know that they're okay, that they're lovable. We want to know that we are okay. And the question is, who am I going to look to as a point of reference to know that I'm okay? And if I don't know you here, I know some of you, but mostly I don't know you too well, but I know this about you. Every single one of you look to something or someone as your point of reference to tell you that you're okay. The reason why I know that is because I do exactly the same thing. We all look to someone to know that we're okay. All right? You either look to the left or to the right. You scroll up and down to know that you're okay. Now, last week, we answered this question as we opened the pages of the New Testament. It becomes obvious to us that the only person, listen carefully, this is important, the only being, the only person qualified to become your point of reference to tell you that you're okay is your Creator, is your Maker. He's the only one who's qualified to tell you that you're okay. And let me tell you, if you don't believe me, just open the pages of the New Testament and you will find out very, very quickly that you have a God who loves you so much. You have a creator God who created you in his own image. He loved you so much, he would give everything for you. And in fact, he did. Sid asked this question last week. What is the worth of a thing? Anything. How do you know how much a thing is worth? For example, let me give you an example so that you know what I'm talking about. I drive a 2008 Honda Accord. I drove a 2008 Honda Accord. Now, I could put it on Gumtree or car sales for $100,000. Does that make the worth of my 2008 Honda Accord $100,000 just because I advertise it for that much? No, right? The worth of my Honda Accord depends on how much people are willing to pay for it, not how much I think it's worth. Do you understand? The worth of my car depends on how much people are willing to pay for it. Do you know how much you're worth? Your worth depends on how much others are willing to pay for it. And let me tell you, your Heavenly Father thought you are so worthy, he gave you his very best. He gave you his one and only son. That's how worthy you are in his sight. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, that he gave his one and only son. In other parts of the New Testament, it says, it's not with gold or silver that we were purchased from our sins, but it was because of the blood of Jesus Christ himself. So that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. If you're not a Christian here this morning, that's the good news. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for you. You will not die. Physically, you may die, but eternally, you will not be separated from God. You will have eternity with him forever and ever. That's the good news, right? That's why we gather here every week. Now, as we conclude this series, I want to tackle this very, very important part of comparison, the dark side. I call it the dark side of comparison. A lot of you don't think of it in these terms, but this is so powerful. This is so important. I believe you're here for a reason. This is the reason why you come to church this morning. God wanted you to hear this, and I believe God wants to set you free once and for all, because for those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, maybe you don't realize you do this. You know, behind the scene, behind every comparison that you make, behind every jealousy, behind every envy, is this evil thought that you have against your Creator God. Do you know that? You don't realize you have those thoughts, but that's exactly what happened every single time you make comparison with somebody else. And Jesus, being Jesus, tackled this problem head on in one of his most memorable, one of his most powerful parables of all, the parable of the talents. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. It's so powerful, and I want to look at this parable from this vantage point, all right? So get ready to be blessed this morning. Let's start reading from, this is just Jesus or God, your Creator, is the only one qualified to tell you that you're okay, okay? Matthew 25, this is how the parable starts. Again, it is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, every single time you read a parable, you got to ask yourself a question. And one of the questions you need to ask is, where am I in the parable? Very important question. Another question you need to ask is, where is God in the parable? And in this parable, it's very clear. The wealthy man going on a journey represents God, and we are the servants. In the Greek, it's called doulos. We are the slaves with no rights whatsoever. And yet, this wealthy man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Take care of this wealth as if I would take care of this wealth myself. I'm trusting you with this wealth. And then Jesus continues. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability, and then he went on his journey. We don't know when he's coming back. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Wonderful. And then also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Because, after all, what can you do with 1 bag of gold? Am I right? I mean, if I were given, maybe he was thinking, if I were given 2 bags of gold, I could have done something with it. If I were given 5 bags of gold, I could probably change the world. But I was only given 1 bag of gold. What could I do with it? If I had 2 bags, of course. Translate this to our modern world. If I were born to a different family, of course. If my dad hadn't left me and my mom when I was young, of course. If I wasn't abused when I was little, of course. If I had her look, of course. If I had his talent, of course. If I had the opportunity to go to that school, of course. But that wasn't me. I was only given 1 talent. What could I do with it? What could I do with this lowly education? What could I do with this look? What could I do with this? You see how it's very, very easy for us to make a comparison and feel so bad about ourselves. And then Jesus continued. After a long time, when you read after a long time in the parable, that means after a lifetime, after a lifetime. The master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Notice, the servants were never told to settle accounts with each other, which is what you and I tend to do every single day, don't we, right? We want to settle accounts with each other. Oh, how much do you have? How come I don't have that? Oh, what did you do? How come I didn't do that? You see, we wanted to settle accounts with one another, but we were not told to do that. We were only told that the master returned and then settled accounts with them. So it's between the master and us. It's not a matter of between servant and servant. It's only between the master and us. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he was so excited, he couldn't wait. He said, "You entrusted me with 5 bags. I know this was not mine. It's a steward. You know, I'm just a steward. You entrusted this to me." So he understood his position completely. "You entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. This is what he said, in essence. "Look what I did with what I had." This is so powerful. I want us to say this out loud together on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. "Look what I did with what I had." You know, after a long time, which means after a lifetime, the master, God, Jesus, is coming back to us for us to give an account with what he has entrusted to us. And I pray that this is what we can say to him with gladness. We couldn't wait. "Look what I did with what I had." And then this is how the master replied. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things," to which the listeners, who were listening to Jesus at the temple, "few things, 5 bags of gold." You know how much that's worth? That's worth about, according to the experts, 40 to 50 years of wages. 40 to 50 years of wages. Jesus, if he was asked that question, he would have said, "Compared to what?" See, it's all a matter of perspective, right? "I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. Again, you know, you were to summarize what he said exactly the same thing as the servant with 5 bags of gold. "Look what I did with what I had. Look what I did with what I had." And the master replied exactly the same reply, word for word, with what he said to the servant with the 5 bags of gold. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then, if this were a movie, the soundtrack will change at this point, all right? From a happy to like the Jaws kind of music. Then a man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, notice what he said. He started blaming his master. I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His response was totally different from the responses of the other two servants. He didn't say, look what I did with what I had. Instead, if you are to summarize what he said, this is what he said. Look at what I did because of what you didn't give me. Look at what I did because of what you didn't give me. Everything I did was your fault. The reason why I did what I did was your fault. And this is how the master replied. You wicked and lazy servant. Now, in the Greek, the word wicked can also be translated worthless. See, he didn't do anything bad. He just didn't do anything, period. So, you worthless, lazy servant, the master said. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. If you knew that, this is at least you could have done this. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest, which makes sense to all of us as we read it, right? So, and then Jesus continued with the parable, but I'm going to stop right here, and I want to tell you, whenever you read a parable, okay, not every detail in the parable is important. So you got to be careful how you interpret parables, okay? Usually, the number of points in the parable depends on the number of main characters in the parable. Let me give you an example. In the parable of the prodigal son, you have the father, the elder son, and the prodigal son. And that gives you a clue that most likely there are three points in that parable of the prodigal son. You can learn something from the father, you can learn something from the prodigal son, and you can also learn something from the elder son. All right? Now, in this story, it's the same. It's very simple. There are three lessons that we can learn here. Number one is this, and this is where the rubber meets the road. This is so important. I want you to pay attention. Lesson number one is this. The master determined who got what. The master determined who got what. You know, we know this intuitively. You did not choose where you were to be born. Am I correct? You did not choose your family. You did not choose a lot of things in this world. You did not choose to be born with a physical defect. You did not choose to be born in an alcoholic environment, for example. A lot of things you did not choose. But one thing that is very clear from this parable is this. The master determined who got what. And here's why this becomes important. And this is what lies behind every comparison that you make. That our dissatisfaction with what we have shows how we really feel about God, more so than how we feel about the people that we compare ourselves with. Do you get that? Every single time you're making a comparison with other people, that shows how you feel toward God more so than how you feel toward the people that you compare with. In other words, you are saying to God, God, you owe me. God owes me a good environment for my upbringing. God owes me a good look. God owes me a perfect physical body. God owes me this. God owes me that. Every single time you're making a comparison, that's exactly what you're saying to God. In other words, every minute that you spend comparing yourself with others is a minute you spend accusing God for shortchanging you because you think you deserve better. You think you don't deserve some of the things that happened to you. You think you deserve better. Question is it true? Is it true that God is shortchanging you? Maybe you thought that, man, this is the reason why some of you probably choose not to believe in God because you went through so much, and I get that. I'm not making light of your experience, your painful experience, okay? Don't get me wrong. But this is probably the reason why the solution for you to ease your pain is to just say or assume God doesn't exist. Because if God had existed, I would not have to go through all that I did go through. In other words, God, you're shortchanging me, right? And if you're a follower of Christ, let me tell you, that's exactly what you're saying to God every single time you're comparing yourself with other people. The question is it true? And the answer, again, we need to find our cue about who we are from God. So in Ephesians 2, verse 10, this is what the Apostle Paul said about us. For we are God's masterpiece. Everyone say masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. In the Greek, it's poema, from which we get the word poem. You are God's wonderful poetry. You are God's wonderful poem. You are a workmanship. You are a masterpiece of God. Why did God make us so good? With all the options, you know, I imagine if you go to a car dealership, you know, sometimes the car salesman asks you what model you want, and you said, okay, put all the options. You know, I want everything. I want the works. I want the lot. When God made you, He made you as a masterpiece, all right? You are not lacking anything because God has a wonderful plan for your life. There's a good work He prepared in advance for you to do. In other words, you have everything that you need to fulfill your God-given destiny. You have everything that you need to fulfill your God-given destiny. If you're, you know, here's how I put it, okay? If you're supposed to be tall, God would have made you taller, right? If you're supposed to be able to sing, He would have given you the vocal cord so that you could sing. If you were supposed to be the next top model, He would have made you cuter, right? So don't compare yourself with other people. If you're supposed to be white, He would have made you white. If you're supposed to be Latino, buenos dias, He would have made you Latino. If you're supposed to be a genius, He would have made you Asian. Just kidding. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. That's a bad joke, okay. That's racist, actually, okay. I'm actually racist toward my own race. How is that? So, you have everything that you need to fulfill your God-given destiny, right? You have to believe that because that's what God says about you. You are God's masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are God's masterpiece. All right? Don't compare. All right? So that's number one. Number two, here's what's equally important as well. What you have is not as important as what you do with what you have. Isn't that true? That what you have is not as important as what you do with what you have. If you were born into a poor family, you can say to God, God, I was born into a poor family. I didn't have much opportunity. Here's what I did with it. If you were born into a rich family, you had a lot of opportunity, you could say to God, God, I was born into this family. Here's what I did with it. If you were born with a poor physical health, you could say to God, God, here's what I did with it. If you were born with good health, God, here's what I did with it. If you're born into a bad family, God, here's what I did. If you're born into a good family, here's what I did. Because what you have is not as important as what you do with what you have. How many of you have heard of this guy called Chris Gardner? His story is amazing. His story was turned into a movie played by Will Smith, by the same title, The Pursuit of Happiness. You know, he didn't have much in this world. He couldn't pay his bills. He got kicked out by his own wife because he went from job to job, you know, trying new things. And then he was homeless too after some time. But he didn't complain about what he didn't have, his lack of opportunity, his lack of education, whatever. He just kept trying because it's not as important what you have, but it's what you do with what you have that is important. You know why? Because if you keep focusing on what you don't have, right? If you keep focusing on the inequity, you know, oh, it's not fair. How come he had that? I didn't have that. If you keep focusing on inequity, you will be missing out on the opportunity. And that's exactly what the one beggar servant did, right? Because the complaint of the master is what? Hey, if you knew I was that kind of person, you could at least put my money in the bank and you could have earned interest for doing nothing. And then if the servant could respond at the time, he would have said, duh, how come I didn't think of that? Right? How come I didn't think of that? So simple. See, the reason why he didn't think of that is because he was so focused on the inequity. Like, how come I didn't have 2 bags of gold? 5 bags of gold? See, that's what happened. When you keep focusing, you know, oh man, you know, I'm envious of that person because he had that, she had that, then you would have missed out on the opportunity to do something with what you have. And that's number 2. And finally, number 3, here's an important lesson as well. You are responsible to run your own race. You are responsible to run your own race, not somebody else's race. I'm going to show you this photo of 4 cars. Tell me which one is the best car of the lot? The top left-hand corner is a V8 supercar, top speed, over 300 kilometers an hour. It can hug a corner better than a bear hugging her baby. So good, right? Wonderful car. The one on the top right, that's a Kia Carnival minivan, right? You try to put that minivan in a racing situation with the V8 supercars, it's going to get lapped over again and again and again, all right? But at the same time, try to use the V8 supercar to send your kids to school or to go grocery shopping, all right? You know what? The Kia minivan can sit 8 times more people than the V8 supercar. The V8 supercar can only sit 1 person, but the Kia can sit 8, and it's a lot more comfortable. The springs, you know, everything is more comfortable inside. AC, everything, okay? How about the car on the bottom left? That's a Toyota 4-wheel drive. Again, you know, cornering, probably not so good. You can tip over if you corner too fast, but it can go off-road. The V8 supercar cannot go off-road. It's going to get bogged down really quickly because it's so low, okay? The bottom right hand car, that's a 2004 Toyota Corolla belonging to Pastor John. I don't know what it's good for. <Just kidding. laughs> Well, let me tell you what it's good for. It's the most fuel efficient of the other cars. It's the cheapest of the other cars. It did not put John into debt, right? But it couldn't get him any girls, though, so we do have to do something about that. But you know what I'm talking about. If I ask you which of the 4 cars is the best car, the answer is it depends, right? What do you want to use it for? What do you want to use it for? Every single one of us have our own race to run. Let me tell you that I've seen too many minivans trying to outrace a V8 supercar, right? Too many of you try to run a race that is not made for you. And it keeps you feeling deflated, defeated all the time. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, there's a race that God has marked out especially for you. So you don't need to look to the left or to the right because you have your own race to run. This is the reason why I don't go to the gym, because if I step on a treadmill and I start seeing how fast people are going next to me, I feel bad, you know. But at home, I don't have to worry about that. I just run my own race. See, every single one of us has a race to run. And guess what? Your race is made up of one person. You. Only you. Nobody else can run your race. And you are not supposed to run other people's race as well. All right? So if you are a one bagger, let me tell you. If you are a one bagger, you don't have to feel embarrassed that you have 1 bag of gold. Okay? You don't have to feel inferior to your sister who's better looking than you. You don't have to feel intimidated because your neighbor is richer than you, all right? You just have to run your own race and be the best person that you can be. Be the best person that you can be. See? your best may still be not as good as somebody else's, right? After giving your best, maybe you will not be as skinny as your coworker still. After giving your best, maybe you're still not as rich as your brother. After giving your best, maybe you're not as powerful as your friend at the office. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Because you're not to run their race. You have not been graced to run their race. You have not been given the whatever is necessary to run their race. You have been given everything that you need to run your own race. Even though, you know, people try to compare pastors all the time with other pastors, especially in the age of internet and podcasts and everything, you know. It's so tough being a pastor these days because we are being compared to the top, you know, celebrity pastors all the time. It's like if you're a husband, if your wife keeps telling you, oh, how come you don't look like Brad Pitt all the time, it's kind of deflating after some time, right? Now, I may not be as good a pastor as, say, Tim Healy from Riverview or T.D. Jakes from Dallas. But I have something that those two combined don't have. I have these good looks. I may not be as good a dad as somebody else, but I can be the best dad for my son, Jaden. I could try to be the best pastor for the Rocks Church. This is the race that God has given me. I may not be as good a husband as somebody else. Don't say amen, Hulda. But I can be the best husband for my wife, Hulda, because that's the race that has been set for me. I don't have to compare myself with people to my left, people to my right. I don't have to scroll up and down to get my sense of worth and value, because only my Creator can give me that. He's the only reference point that I need. Maybe if you're not a Christian, this sounds too spiritual to you, but let me tell you, the alternative is so bad. The alternative is horrible. If you don't get your cue from the one who created you, then you will look for a reference point somewhere else, and you're going to be disappointed because those will be false points of references. Let me tell you, you are created as a masterpiece of God. Run your own race. Don't look to the left and to the right. God is not going to ask you, how come you're not like so-and-so? How come you're not like him? How come you're not more like her? God is going to ask you, how come you're not more like you? Because when I created you, I threw away the mold. Done. You are unique. You are special. You are different than everybody else. And I have prepared a good work for you to do. When I went to Jakarta in December, January, I was there a couple of weeks, and then I fell sick. Many of you knew that. And then after I got released from the hospital, somebody took me to this place where we met this celebrity. He's really, really famous in Indonesia. He's an artist and very well connected to politicians and famous people, powerful people. And he was preparing for his birthday bash where all the, you know, who's and who's of Indonesia will be there. And he invited this guy, and you know, it makes me want to cry telling the story again. But this guy is special. He's different. His name is Michael. He's only 16 years old. 16 years old. When he was born premature. Only a few months old. And then the doctors, maybe there was not enough good facility to help him. And because he was born premature, he became blind. He was not actually born blind, but he became blind. And not only that, he's also severely autistic. But ever since he was young, he had this desire to play the piano. Even though he had no lesson whatsoever, but he became really, really good at piano. And now at 16 years old, he could play the whole Mozart concerto from beginning to the end, memorize every single note, and he could play with an orchestra. And this, I videotaped their practice. This is their first practice with a professional orchestra. And you know, when you play a classical piece, you can't improvise. The timing had to be perfect. And this is what he did. I recorded with my phone. Enjoy. Okay. 16-year-old, blind, severely autistic, no piano lessons, and he could play like that. He has been given everything he needs to run his race. Everything. You don't need to look to the left and to the right and compare yourself with others. You know, the guy who invited us to watch this practice, he's a self-proclaimed atheist. And he said, no religion can tell me that God exists. But after seeing that boy play, I believe in God. That's what he said. After seeing and hearing that boy play, I believe in God. How powerful is that? You know, you have your own race to run. You have your own race to run. You have been given everything that you need. Stop comparing yourself with others. It's a never-ending game. There's no win in comparison. It's a losing game every single time. Why do you keep doing it? Take your cue about who you are from the one who created you. God thought you were wonderful. God paid a high price to buy you back from a broken fellowship that you had with Him because of your sin. Jesus Christ is the price that He paid for you and for me. If you think you're worthless, stop thinking that. You are worth more than anything as far as God is concerned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.